Welcome to the podcast of Selmore Baptist Church in Ozark, Missouri. To learn more about our church, please visit selmorebaptist.com. And now, here's the sermon.
All right, Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. On Sunday mornings, we have been making our way through the Sermon on the Mount. The last 6 weeks, Jesus has taught us what true righteousness is. And we have learned through those sermons that it's not just what you do that's important, but it's why you do it. 6 times in this sermon, Jesus says, "You have heard it said, but I say to you." And that's his way of saying, you have heard it said, conform to the law outwardly, conform to its letter. But I say to you, don't only do that, but obey it from a heart that genuinely seeks God. Don't just obey the letter of the law, but hear and heed the spirit of the law as well. Now, in today's passage, there is a bit of a transition in this sermon, because Jesus has already said that, it is about what we do, it is about why we do it, but today he also adds to that, that it matters how we do it. It matters how we obey the law. Jesus proceeds in our passage today and in coming weeks to give 3 examples of spiritual disciplines in which all of us as Christians should be engaged. But Jesus also says that we must go about them the right way. And we're going to look at 3 of these over the course of the next 3 sermons beginning today. In today's passage, Jesus talks about charitable giving. Giving to those in need. The King James Version says almsgiving. And so in this morning's text, we're going to identify 3 guidelines that Jesus gives to us that should direct our charitable giving. So let's listen to our master today and let's see what he has to say on this subject. Chapter 6, verses 1 through 2. Here's what Jesus says. He says, "Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward." Guideline number 1 this morning is this. When you do a charitable deed, when you do something kind for someone else, keep it a secret from other men. Now, before we go any further in this passage, I want us to note 1 little word in verse 2 that is very important. Jesus says in verse 2, "Therefore, when you do a charitable deed." He does not say, "Therefore, if you do a charitable deed." It is assumed in Scripture that God's people are always helping those in need. That is what Jesus calls us to do. That should be part of our DNA. That should be part of what we're known for by the lost world, is that we are always helping, that we are always ministering to those in need. And may that ever be so. May that always be said of us. That's one reason that when we take the Lord's Supper here at our church, afterwards here the last several months, the last year or two, we've been trying to collect a benevolence offering that gives funds for our deacons to administer to people in our community who are in need. Why? Because we believe that's important. We believe that's a witness of the gospel. And that's one thing that I appreciate about you all and I appreciate about this church, is that you do have a heart to help those in need. Now, when Jesus says, basically, keep your charitable deeds secret from other men, let's clarify what we mean by that. Because we know that some deeds, by nature, must be done publicly. There are times when we need to help other people that just by the nature of how we're helping, others are going to know. When I was thinking of an illustration of this, this is kind of silly, but it's just what came to mind. As we're leaving church today, if one of you was making your way back north on Selmore Road and you ran out of gas, you'd have to pull over on the side of the road. And I might come by and see you sitting there and pull over, and I might have to go get some gas and bring it back to you. And other people in church might drive by pointing at you and laughing at you and making fun of you later that you ran out of gas. And so they'll say, I saw Josh bringing you gas. That was nice of Josh to do that. I can't really help that. By nature of that circumstance, I had to help you in such a way that other people would see. So we have to be careful not to take it too literally, because there may be times others need help. And we're not going to say, well, others may be watching, so I can't help you. So what Jesus is really talking about here is motive, isn't he? That is to say that our driving motivation for helping other men should never be the praise of people. Now, this is a struggle for most of us, because we do like pats on the back, don't we? And we do like to hear from others what a wonderful person that we are, and kind and charitable and all of those things. And let's just be honest, that feels good when people brag on us. But Jesus says, if you do a charitable deed to receive glory from men, then you already have your reward. Your reward in that circumstance, if that's why you were doing it, is the praise of your fellow man. Now, I don't know about you, but I'll take my Father's reward over man's reward any day. It's kind of like when you have a child and you say, you're just messing with him or whatever, and you say, I can give you $10 now or $100 a year from now. And what's the kid always say? $10 now, right? That's what we do when we're immature. As a Christian, our attitude should not be, I want the $10 now, I want the praise of my fellow man. Our attitude should be, I want the $100, the $1,000, the $1,000,000 later when the Father rewards me in heaven because of what I've done secretly and privately to help my fellow man. By going about our charitable deeds humbly, we should draw as little attention to ourselves as possible. But this is not what the Pharisees did. If you look at verse 2, it's kind of an interesting mental picture there. Jesus says, don't sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets. Now, the commentaries are interesting on this, because some say that this was actually a literal practice, that they would have times of fasting that they would announce with the blowing of trumpets, and with the fasting there would be prayer and there would be almsgiving, and blowing the trumpets was the way of drawing the attention of everyone, that this is what we're doing and look at us. And then others say, no, it wasn't a literal practice, it was just Jesus using a metaphor, like don't toot your own horn, basically, when you do something, right? Either way, whether it's literal or figurative there, it's wrong. It's wrong for us to draw attention to ourselves when we're doing something to help someone. Charles Spurgeon said, to stand with penny in one hand and a trumpet in the other is the posture of hypocrisy. Now, you and I may not blow a trumpet when we do something nice for someone, but we have other means, don't we? We like to talk to people. We like to tell people what we did. Now we have this wonderful thing called social media. If I do something nice for someone, I can get on Facebook and tell the whole world what a nice person that I am. I would submit that that is not only hypocrisy, but that is actually a form of self-idolatry. You say, what do you mean by that? Listen, when we do something kind, and someone praises us for doing something kind, and we don't deflect that praise onto Jesus, we are accepting praise for ourselves. We are stealing glory from God. And so may we never be guilty of taking praise that rightfully belongs to Him, as all praise does. Now, one more thing on this point. Some might look at this and say, well, is this not in some ways a contradiction to what Jesus says earlier in this sermon. Because here in verses 1 and 2, he's saying, don't do your charitable deeds before men to receive glory from them. But if you back up to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16, a verse we've already looked at in this sermon, he says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So how do we rectify those two verses? Again, I think it all boils down to motivation. What are the motives of our heart? One man's rule of thumb, and I thought this was really good, is as follows. Show good works when tempted to hide. Hide good works when tempted to show. In other words, when we find ourselves kind of shirking back because we're worried about what people might think if we're too strong in our witness for the Lord and we kind of want to hide our candle under a bush, then Jesus would say, show it. But if we find ourselves wanting to do kind deeds so that we get praise, then Jesus would say, hide it. Okay? It all depends on what's going on inside of us. So Jesus says here, we're to keep charitable deeds, as a rule, secret from other men. But then he says, even that doesn't go far enough. He has more to say in verses 3 and 4. Listen to this. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret. And we'll pause there. Here's guideline number 2 for doing charitable deeds. When you do a charitable deed, keep it a secret from yourself. That sounds kind of silly, doesn't it? When you do a charitable deed, keep it secret from yourself. That sounds kind of funny to say, but that's essentially what Jesus is getting at. When he says, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. First, let's cover this. He's not advocating for being disorganized. All right. Some people see this as their motto for life. Jesus said, don't let my left hand know what my right hand is doing. So I have no idea what's going on. That's not the context of the verse. Rather, Jesus is saying, don't only not seek the praise of others in your charitable deeds, also don't seek the praise of yourself. And in my experience, that second part is far more difficult than even the first. Because now we're talking about a heart issue. For some of us, it is very easy to project public humility and have our heart just be full of pride and congratulating ourselves. Some of us are very good when other people come up to us and say, that was such a kind and good thing you did, to say, oh, don't thank me. Jesus gets all the glory. Rightfully, we should do that. But then we go home and we look in the mirror and we say, you're good. You're such a good person. You're so kind. Don't we? I know I'm not the only one. We break our hand, as the saying goes, patting ourselves on the back. Jesus would say to us, when you do something kind for someone, don't dwell on it. Just let it go and move on. I think if we help someone with the right spirit, that ideally, if that person we helped were to come up to us a year later, or 5 years later, or 10 years later, and say to us, thank you for helping me in my time of need, probably if we had the right spirit, we would say, did I do that? I had forgotten all about that. Because we're not obsessed, we're not focused, we're not dwelling on how good of a person that we are. We help someone in Jesus' name, and then we forget it. And we let it go, and we move on. Now, may I say that it is much easier to do this when we remember that we are a steward of everything that we have and not an owner. If I came up to you and gave you $100 and said, help people in need with this money, and you went out and gave someone a $20 bill, and they said, oh, thank you so much, then probably you would say, don't thank me. A guy just gave this to me to give to you. So thank him. When we view ourselves as stewards, we say, listen, don't thank me for what I've given to you. Everything I have comes from the Lord. I'm just merely a steward of what's his. So if you want to thank someone, thank Jesus. And when we do that, and when we give and we help others in his name, then we don't get the glory. He gets the glory. And that's really the way that it should be. So, to kind of review what we've said so far, we're not to do charitable deeds for others' praise and approval, and we're not to do charitable deeds for our own praise and approval. So, whose praise and approval are we doing it for then? Verse 4 tells us, you know the answer to this already, but let's read what verse 4 says. The end of it says, "And your Father, who sees in secret, will himself reward you openly." And so guideline number 3 is that when you do a charitable deed, do it only for God's praise and approval. When we do our charitable deeds in secret, from others and from even ourselves, God does something amazing and something even a little ironic. According to verse 4, when we do things in secret, he rewards us openly. Now, this tells us a couple important things and hopefully encouraging things about God. Number one, God sees and knows what we do even if no one else ever does. Oftentimes, we feel taken for granted. We feel neglected. We feel unappreciated because we help people and we do things for people. And oftentimes, we don't get so much as a thank you. But it should encourage us that there is one who sees all and knows all, and he remembers and he knows. The second thing that should encourage us about this is not only does God see what is done in secret, but he is just to reward. Now, verse 4 says in the New King James Translation that he rewards us openly. What does that mean exactly, that he rewards us openly? It could mean a few different things. Some have said when it says he rewards us openly, it's referring to when we receive our heavenly reward in front of God and the saints. Some have said it may mean some kind of earthly blessing or some kind of earthly recognition in God's way and God's time, in which our fellow man sees God's blessings upon our life in a visible way. It could simply mean just the blessing of knowing that you helped someone. We don't know for sure what form this takes, but one thing we do know because of the promise of God is that he will reward us. Galatians chapter 6, verses 9 through 10 say, "And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially those who are of the household of faith." God is just. He rewards his own, and we will reap if we continue to do good works and not lose heart. At the end of the day, it seems to me that we have to ask ourselves this question when it comes to this topic. Is God's praise and is God's approval enough? If I never get recognized by man, or acknowledged by man, or praised by man for what I do, am I okay with that? In fact, take it a step further. If someone else, now here's the hard one, if someone else gets the credit for what I have done to help others, is that okay with me? Is it enough to know that the Lord knows that he'll reward me one day? Many of us, if we're being honest, in our flesh, that's not enough. We get resentful and we get bitter. But the more that we mature and the more that we're sanctified, the less desire we have for personal recognition. I want to say that one more time. The more we mature and the more we are sanctified, the less desire that we have for personal recognition. I think about John, who said, speaking of Jesus, he must, what? Increase, and I must decrease. Is that the spirit of your heart today? He must increase, I must decrease. It's not about me. It's not about the glory that I get. It's about the glory that he gets. I've quoted this before. Some of you may remember it. One man has said that on his tombstone, he once preached the gospel, die, and be forgotten. Are you okay with that? Now, I think all of us, if we're honest, would say, well, I don't want to be totally forgotten. I want someone to remember me, my kids, my grandkids, someone to remember me. That's not really what that quote is talking about. It's saying, are you okay if you preach the gospel and die and be forgotten and there's never a monument to you? There's never a building with your name on it? There's never a pew with your plaque on it? Whatever the case may be, is that okay with you? Just to know that you spent your time here on earth glorifying God and pointing to him instead of others recognizing you. And I think when we get to the point in our faith where we're truly maturing and being sanctified, we are okay with that. Now, let's talk about application for a moment, just to close this sermon. Let's apply what we've learned today. Two or three questions for you to consider. Number one is simply this. Are you involved in charitable deeds? Are you consistently, regularly helping those in need? Is that a regular part of your life? Are you doing that collectively through your giving of your tithes and your offerings to the church? And are you doing that personally and individually? Guys, as Christians, that should be a normal, regular part of our life. It's who we are. We help others because of what Jesus has done for us. Are you helping others? And if you're not, you better check inside. You better check your heart because something may not be right there. Number two, for those who are helping others, are you currently doing it in such a way that you get recognition? Are you doing it in such a way that you receive the glory rather than God receiving the glory? And if that is the case, based on what Jesus has said to us today, what are you going to do to rectify that? What changes are you going to make in the way that you help others to take yourself out of the limelight and put Jesus in the limelight? And number three, I'd ask you this, and here we come back to that heart issue again. Inside, inwardly, when you help others, are you patting yourself on the back? Are you spending a lot of time thinking about what a good person and generous person you are? If that is the case, that's pride. Will you pray for God? Will you pray to God? Will you confess your pride? Will you ask him to forgive you of your pride? And will you pray for him to change your heart and help you to have the proper inward motivation? Those are just some applications from this text for us to think about today. And now that we're done with applications, I want to give you one piece of homework. Is everybody ready? You're excited, aren't you? I don't normally give homework. Here's your homework for this week. Do at least one act of kindness, one charitable deed. Do it, if at all possible, in the name of Jesus Christ, and never tell another soul. And even forget yourself that you ever did it. That's your homework for the week. Do you think that we can do that? Yep. All right, let's try. I want to say one more thing and then we'll be done. The reason, I said this a while ago, I'll say it again. The reason that Christians give to others, the reason that's part of who we are and what we do, is because the Lord has given to us. It's important we understand that connection. Jesus came and he gave his life on the cross for our sins. The Bible says if we will admit that we're a sinner and believe with all of our heart that Jesus died in our place for our sins, and believe with all of our heart that he rose from the dead, and then truly and genuinely commit our life to living for him, that he'll save us and that he'll give us eternal life. In Matthew chapter 10, Jesus says to his disciples, I love this statement, freely you have received, freely give. Think about that. Freely you have received, freely give. The source of a giving heart is a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. And so I would ask you today, do you know him? Have you truly committed your life to him? And if not, you can do that today, and then you can give from a full heart, from a heart that knows what it is to receive grace, to receive a wonderful, precious gift, which is the gift of Jesus Christ. Pastor Mark's going to come, and he's going to lead us in a song of response today. What number are we going to sing today, Mark? Page 541 is going to be our song. If you're here today and you need to give your life to Jesus, we would invite you to come. When this song begins playing, walk to the front. I'll be standing here at the floor. And just say, Josh, I want to follow Christ. I want to have this kind of giving heart and giving nature that only he can provide. And I'll be happy to pray with you and lead you in committing your life to Jesus. If you're here today and you have any other public decision that you need to make for the Lord, whether that be following the Lord in baptism or becoming an official member of this family, this church, or simply if there's something that you want to come and pray about today, now is your time to do that. Let's stand and let's have our song of response, page 541.